Hello, I'm Ty Hoffman, and this is Bio 181, hopefully for everyone. If not, you're in the wrong place. I want to talk about the course itself for a little bit before we actually get into the first lecture. And, hello.
Hi, do I just sit down?
Well, I mean, that's most people prefer to sit, but I won't force you to. I mostly want to try, and it's a difficult thing on the first day, to make you understand what you're in for without actually hopefully being discouraging. It's going to sound discouraging, though, because this is a bitch of a course in terms of workload. Getting an A in here will, for most people, be much more difficult than getting an A in other courses. At this point in your academic career, this will likely be the hardest course you've taken so far. And by hardest, I mean hardest to pass. Not necessarily hardest to understand, but hardest to get through. So if you have not already learned the lesson that not all courses are equal in terms of ease or difficulty, then this course will teach you that, at least. Not just in my versions of 181, but any instructor who teaches this. It's about the same story for anyone. In any given term, about half of the people don't make it through, on the first try, at least. And usually in any given class on the first day, there are several people who are trying this course for a second or maybe even a third time. So it's pretty full today, but there will be plenty of seats by the time the finals week comes. And I wish that weren't true, and it doesn't have to be true. Obviously, we could have a spectacular group here and everyone will get an A, but that hasn't ever come close to happening. I've taught it enough times to know that this sample size is big enough for me to expect about half of you to be gone. But I don't want you to leave. I just want you to realize the sooner you believe me on this, the sooner you can take the steps to prevent that from happening. And some of you, still, if you do everything correctly in terms of what I'm telling you to do the right way, will still not make it through. And that's because of probably the biggest reason why people don't make it through. It's not that this stuff is impossible to understand. It's just that there is a hell of a lot of it. The course is pretty relentless. It's going to cut very deeply into your day, every day, especially if you want an A. But you need at least a C because it's a majors course, right? A D is worthless to you. So you might be aiming for an A today, but some of you will just be hoping for that C eventually. Anyway, you can get that if you put enough hours in. And some people simply can't, and I understand that. Right? The days are long gone, back in my day, when it was a person's job just to be a student. You know, at a certain age after high school, your job is simply to be a college student. That's all you had to do. Well, that's not the case anymore. People have spouses, jobs, kids, all kinds of things. And the number one reason why people don't make it through this course, I think, is that they're trying to do 26 hours of things in every 24-hour day. So either this course has to give or the other things in your life have to give. And if those other things in your life absolutely can't be shorted, then that means you're too busy to take this course. And you eventually will learn that and have to withdraw, unfortunately. But if you can give enough time to it, then you can not only make it through it, but it'll be a good class. It's the most important biology course you'll take, in my opinion, this and 182, both, this sequence. These are the fundamentals of biology, 181 and 182, which means, since at least the vast majority of people who take this are biology majors, you're going to learn the most important things about biology in 181 and 182. Importantly, fundamental does not mean easy. Neither does basic. Basic and fundamental are pretty much the same word. But that does not mean easy. That just means important. It's the stuff on which all of the rest of biological knowledge is built. So it's really important to understand the concepts introduced in 181 and 182. But doing that requires a lot of time outside of class. Okay, I want you to realize that without... Well, I probably sound discouraging, like I said, but this is absolutely the truth. Okay? So it's a bitch of a course in terms of workload, but it can be really interesting, assuming that you like biology. And if you don't like biology, why are you a biology major? Find a major that you like. It's really important to be happy in life. All right, so I hope that you've seen this website before. Now, don't feel like you're going to be penalized, but just for my honest curiosity, has anyone not seen this website? Okay, thanks for admitting that. Have you been to Canvas at least? Well, that's probably why, if you haven't been to Canvas. But is everyone used to Canvas at this point? Well, Canvas is the learning management system that Estrella has adopted, and all learning management systems, or LMSs, suck for some reason or another. I've used a lot of different ones. Canvas might be the least loathsome, but I still hate it for various reasons. I have to use it, though. Mostly to safely, legally give you your grades. It would be a FERPA violation if your scores and grades were given in an unsecure environment. Now, that's the major reason why I have to force you to use Canvas. But Canvas is only one of three websites that you'll need to keep track of during this course. And that shouldn't be too onerous. I mean, you're used to surfing the web. The fact that you have to use three websites shouldn't be too bad a thing to have to do. But Canvas is one of those three, and this one is another. Now, when you go to Canvas, for those who haven't yet, you'll see that it directs you, or it tells you that you also have to use this site, which I'm calling the Hoffman site, which is on a totally different server, by the way. They just moved it, which is why there were some problems for a while, glitches in the last few days. But I think I got them hammered out. Anyway, I'm mentioning the fact that it's on a different server because even though you can always get to the Hoffman site from Canvas, if your intention is to go to the Hoffman site during that visit, then just skip the Canvas step. You should definitely bookmark this site because since it's on a different server, there can be a Canvas problem someday that no one gets access to Canvas. And unless you have bookmarked the site, you won't be able to get to it. But this will likely still work. Okay? It's just a hell of a lot easier to directly go there, though, too, rather than waste the time to go to Canvas just to get here. You will need to go to Canvas for other things, though. So that's two of three websites, Canvas and the Hoffman site. And you'll also have to, if you haven't already, enroll in the Connect course, which involves the Connect, McGraw-Hill Connect website, as the third website, which is the only way that you can get that batch of points. That should already be available to you. It's not any longer anything that you have to buy. So you're almost done spending money on this course. You might have to spend another $2. You don't have to buy a textbook. You don't have to purchase Connect. That's already included in your fees. But you will have to have Scantrons for my lecture exams, and Estrella no longer gives them for free, which means I'm not going to have any either. So when you show up on the first test day, if you're among the three or four people who totally forgot to buy their Scantrons, then you're going to have to try to bum them from your classmates, which can be embarrassing. So just go to the bookstore and get they come in packs of six, I think, which is perfect. It's not a big expense, but that's really the only thing you're required to purchase beyond tuition. There's in Canvas and on the Hoffman site, there is a vertical menu to the left. And even though this is an ungraded activity, you should consider it to be homework due by midnight tonight for you to go to both Canvas and the Hoffman site and click on every one of those menu links to see where things are and what they offer. And that's because it's going to get busy very soon. So this will be your leisure day, in a sense, where you can spend a few minutes figuring out what the various websites offer, remembering what's there, and where they are. Now, you're not going to use everything on the first day, of course, but I want you to get acquainted with where things are situated and remember what is offered there that will help you later. Because getting through this course is all about time management. It's all about using time efficiently. And it's a waste of time trying to find something that you waited till the last minute to try to find. Do that tonight. All right? Let's look at the syllabus, which is on the Hoffman site, by the way. You don't have to print the syllabus out, but you are required to read the whole thing, and I'm not going to read this whole thing to you. But you should read it. That's why it was written. I'm going to mostly talk about the things that most students care about on the first day, which is things that affect their grade, mostly. It's all important stuff, though. My contact information is there. Read through the objectives. But let's talk about how the scoring works. I talked about the websites already. You don't have to purchase Connect by, like I said, but you do have to register for it. So that's another thing you should get out of the way well before you have to do an assignment in there. You don't want to find that you have a glitch that's not allowing you to register when there's 2 hours left for that assignment. That is an unwise waste of points that I'll talk more about in a minute. So get that out of the way, hopefully today as well, if you haven't already. In glaring red, I have hopefully made the importance of submitting the rules consent form obvious. The rules consent form is also on the Hoffman site. So if you obey me and do your homework for tonight by clicking on all the links, one of those will be the rules consent form that you are absolutely required to submit. All of your work will be for nothing. You won't get any points until you do submit the rules consent form, so don't forget that. But all the other links as well. Anyway, the scoring is below that. And there are there's several categories of graded work, graded assessments. But notice that I have percentages listed in two columns, with attendance and without attendance. Now, this reminds me that today is an exception. This is the attendance sheet, which you'll sign every time you come in. But this is the only day that it'll leave here. We're not passing this around usually. And it's also the only day where you'll be eligible to put your name on it after exactly, when do we start? 1:00:00 is the deadline for putting your name on this from now on. But today is an exception. I'll pass this around. Just legibly write your name. But you need to train yourself starting next meeting, not the labs, I'm talking about lectures. Train yourself somehow not to sit down as soon as you come in. From now on, and you'll get used to it eventually, but starting Wednesday, come in and immediately come up to the desk, which is where that sheet will be, sign in, and then sit down. Okay? Those are for attendance points. Now, attendance simply means being here. And by the way, notice that it's called punctual attendance. It's not enough to be here. If you come in after 1:00:00, a second late, you've lost your attendance points for that day. I will be a stickler on that. because you're getting almost free points for almost nothing. Right? Attendance points does not at all tell me whether you know the material. Doesn't tell me a damn thing about your biological knowledge, right? But I'm willing to give you some points simply for being here because I think it is important to be here for the live performance. I don't want to absolutely require attendance, though, because there is a pretty good counter-argument. Since I record all of my lectures, including right now, you could say, well, and this doesn't have anything to do with lab. You have to be there for lab. But you could say, well, I don't really have to come on lecture days because he records, he has the slideshows already up there, I could reproduce the experience at home, right, and do well. And some people could do well. That would be enough for some people to get A's on the exams. And so why should I penalize those people if they can demonstrate they could do that, right? I don't want to absolutely require attendance since it has really nothing to do with biological knowledge. So every time that you submit something, or every day, because attendance involves every meeting, I will have my spreadsheet update your total score two different ways, with attendance points and without attendance points. And automatically, whichever one is the higher of those numbers will be the total score you get for the moment. So the score you see on Canvas, called total current score, that will be the higher of the two ways to calculate it, with or without attendance. Notice that if it's calculated without attendance, that those points are not just eliminated, those points have to be spread out among the other things that you get grades on. So that means all of the various categories without attendance are worth a little bit more than they would be with attendance. Does that make sense? So they will affect your grade more, either positively or negatively, if you don't count attendance. Everyone clear on that? The best thing, of course, is to just simply never miss, never be late. Then you'll automatically be maximizing your score. And that's really important for, goes along with what I was saying about how much of a bitch it can be to get through this course. It's a matter of, and I see this happen every term, it kind of hurts me to see it. It's a matter of not wasting. Go ahead. You should never feel free to interrupt me. You don't have to raise your hand. Just tell me to stop.
If we have like a day where we absolutely can't come to college and we don't come to college,
If it is a, you know, one of the allowable excuses, which is kind of up to me, but if you tell me ahead of time. And it's not just I have a hangover or something like that, but if, you know, something legitimate, then I won't give you points. I will just eliminate that day. So all the other meeting days' attendance points will be worth slightly more for you. But you have to tell me ahead of time, not after. Okay? Once again, the best situation is to just not miss. But I understand there might be some things like if you have to attend a conference or something like that. That's an example of a legitimate excuse for you know ahead of time. Okay, well, anyway, what I was saying is that you do not want to waste any points in this course because there's going to be a large fraction of this class, many of you, who are no longer going to be aiming for the A because that will be mathematically impossible at a certain point, and you're just going to hope for the C, which is the bare minimum you need as a major, right? A D is worthless in this course. So the main reason that this occurs is, I mean, one of the main reasons, I shouldn't say the main, is that people waste points. A prime example is to come in a minute late. You're wasting what would otherwise be entirely free attendance points that way. And yes, that one time might not be a make or break situation, but doing that every day might make the difference between being able to pass and not being able to pass, or having to withdraw. Similarly, there are, the attendance points are the easiest points you could have. It's almost nothing. No effort. But there are other comparatively easier points, and you don't want to waste any of those either. For instance, Connect, the Connect assignments on the third website, that's all open book stuff, so as long as you put in enough time, you can redo things and should be able to get close to 100% on all of that. If you wait until the last minute, you're not going to be able to do that, and that can break you, right? The largest, I mean the toughest batch of points are the lecture examinations. These affect your score the most, so they have the heaviest weighting, 9% each, so the five exams we have is almost half of your final grade, just in lecture exams. And unfortunately, from the perspective of a student trying to get through the course, they're also the hardest things to score well on. So they affect your score the most, your grade the most, and they're the hardest to do well on. And I've taught this enough that I know where the means will be. They'll be in the mid-60s if this is a typical section. Maybe low 60s to mid-60s as a percent. That's the mean, starting with exam one. And then they go down. Exam one is usually the easiest one. And they get a little lower for various reasons. Yeah? That's on the Hoffman site.
Hoffman site?
Yeah.
I tried accessing it, and it wouldn't work. Would we have to go to Firefox for that? Or?
When did you try?
Just now.
How did you try?
Through Canvas.
Through Canvas?
Are you logged on to your student email? You have to be logged on to your Maricopa one. Like through the Google?
Yeah, I'm logged in.
Well, see me after the lecture. We can figure that out. Does anyone else have any problems with Hoffman site? It should be working well now that they changed the server last week, so there were some pages that didn't work until I renamed them. But I think it's working well now.
I'm having that problem as well.
For the Hoffman site?
I did it through Chrome and Firefox.
Okay. Did you try just typing in the URL that it said it is?
Yes.
Okay. Did you remember a www2?
Yes.
All right, because that makes a big difference, too. And also, it'll have to be HTTPS. All right. You can see me, too, after. We'll figure it out. So, these lecture exams, those are really what's going to determine whether you get through this or not. The other kinds of points, some of them will be harder than others, but none of them is as hard as the lecture exams. And therefore, you should not waste a single point of those is my big point. Because those are really what save you. If the final grade were due just to lecture exams, then almost no one would pass the course. Some people, you know, I have 100% on my exam sometimes. But it's rare. And you know, these things are low scores, unfortunately, but they also are the most important scores in terms of telling me whether you have learned the material. You know, looking something up in an open book Connect assignment doesn't really demonstrate that you have mastered the material. But being able to take an exam without looking at anything on when you're in here on exam days, that's the best way for me to know whether you've actually learned it. So it's all really about time management in preparation for my lecture exams. Now, the Connect site has access to an electronic text. Or you could use any other textbook that works for you if you want to use a textbook. But as is explained on the Hoffman site, there is no requirement to use any textbook. It's possible to get an A in this course without ever cracking a textbook. It just depends on you as a student and as a person, how you learn. The reason, though, it is possible is because none of my test questions comes from a textbook. 100% of my lecture exam questions come from what I tell you on my recordings. So the, by far, most important thing to study are the recordings. And You'll hear the recording as it's being recorded in the live performance if you come. That's not enough. It's also probably not enough to listen to the recording just one time. But listening to the recordings is really important for refining your notes, which you should then study the hell out of in preparation for the exam. You want to have good notes so that you can study those to do well on the exams. You should be writing notes as I speak on the live performance, of course, but you won't be able to get everything, every little thing I say in. And even if you do, that means you're probably spending too much time focusing on writing rather than listening to me. I want you to listen to me during a lecture. And then, you have that framework of notes. You go home, and when you have hours here and there, you listen to these recordings and refine those notes, make them a hell of a lot better, which you can do since you can pause the recordings. Right? You pause them where you really want to brush up on something in the recording, on your notes, make them really good notes. Well, if you never pause the recording, then it takes as long as it takes to be in here to do that, right? But you should be pausing it, or you're not using them correctly. So even one review of a lecture takes longer than being in here, and you should be doing it multiple times in order to prepare yourself well. You should prepare yourself to the point where you can just take a topic out of the unit, put down all your notes, and be able to explain it out loud, whether you're talking to a human or whether you're just alone in a room. In other words, if you can give yourself a little mini lecture by speaking it out loud without looking at any of your notes and get through it, then you're ready for my test. It's almost certainly the case that none of you will be able to do that on the first try, but that's why it's important to try that. That's one reason. There's a lot of reasons, actually. Speaking it, rather than just thinking it, is actually going to make you remember it more. It puts it into a different part of your brain than it was already from when you read it or from when you heard it. And the more copies you have of that information in your brain, the more likely you're going to be able to find that file on the day of the test and use that information to your benefit. So that's an advantage of speaking it out loud, for one thing. But also, like I said, most of you aren't going to be able to do that on the first try. You'll get hung up somewhere in the process. You'll say, man, I'm going to have to look at my notes on this. That's valuable information, though, because that tells you exactly where you need to go back to your notes, not just randomly go back to your notes. The things that you can explain, you're ready for. Where you get hung up is where you need to go back to the notes until you can finally review, lecture through all the material without looking at your notes at all. You're not going to have your notes on the exam day, so don't fool yourself into thinking you know your notes as you're reading them. You need to get to the point where you know the stuff without any notes. But to do that, you're going to need very good notes to start with, which requires multiple listening of the recordings. The recordings, by the way, if we look at the Hoffman site, you'll always have access, well, not immediately, but as soon as I get them uploaded, like today's recordings will be in current term lecture recordings. That's what I've already, that'll sound familiar to you because you've already experienced it. But probably even more important for studying are the online lectures and slideshows from a previous term. And that's because, show you what that page looks like. That's because you have a choice, various choices on how you want to digest the material, but these synchronized slideshows are probably the most valuable things to study. It won't be exact, every time I have a lecture, it's slightly different from how I've said it to other students, so it won't be exactly what I say to you, but largely the same. Anyway, the synchronized slideshow has the audio and the slides synchronized, so you can skip ahead to where you don't know that stuff very well, whatever slide, and the audio will already be right in place. It saves a lot of time. Okay, so budget your time for that recording, listening to recordings more than anything else. That's the most important thing for doing well. So the syllabus tells you that there's 14 pre-lab quizzes. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, pre-lab quizzes. That might end up being a lie. The rest of it's pretty set in stone, but because of what I was mentioning on the Hoffman site, that we decided not to have you buy the laboratory manuals anymore. Well, the pre-lab, the existing pre-lab quizzes were based on the manuals, so since we're redoing things, it might end up being some other number besides 14, and I'll talk more about this in the lab. But anyway, even if it's not 14 exactly, however many numbers of pre-lab quizzes we have, it'll still add up to 13% of your final grade. So it'll still be weighted the same, just not individually. Most of these things are laboratory-based points, and so I'll talk about those in the lab portion itself, which for you is on Wednesday, correct? Okay. Including the practicum, I'll talk about that. Punctual attendance, I've already talked about. But anyway, don't think it's the end of the world if you miss or come in late. It's, you know, one time is probably not going to make a difference, but it's also not the end of the world even if you miss so often that your attendance points don't count. As long as you do well on the other things, you can make up for that. It's just that notice, without attendance, everything is a little bit more valuable than it is with attendance to make up for those attendance points. The grading scale is, for all the other instructors, 90-80-70, which is what you're used to probably in most classes. I realize, though, that I give a little bit more detail in my lectures than most instructors do, which you might end up liking or disliking, but it's a fact. I realize, though, that it's probably a little bit more difficult to get through my exams because of that compared to other instructors. So if I were to leave it as 90-80-70, I would end up giving fewer A's and B's than other instructors do. An A, by the way, is supposed to be about 10% of the class, which means 2.4 of you should get an A. Most of you should get a C, because that's what a C is defined as, the average in the population. I know you might not want a C, but that's what it is, really, right? The average grade. So anyway, I drop the floor so that I end up giving the same number of A's, B's, C's as everyone else who teaches it. So it takes 86 to get an A in here, not a 90. And I intentionally did not say only 86 because that's kind of misleading. Getting an 86 in here will be more difficult than getting a 95 in some classes. Just be aware of that. Okay, and for some of you who, when mathematical reality sets in as we proceed, you'll realize that the A is mathematically impossible, then the B is mathematically impossible, then you're going to be focusing on that 66 number. Now, I mention this because as you get things graded and pay attention to your grades that are on Canvas more and more, you'll notice, if you haven't already, that there are several, I guess it would be rows for you, it's columns for me, but when you look at your grades, there are several entries that are examples of what I call summary and forecast numbers. And those are really important, but a lot of people just don't put in the time or bother to ask me about them, so they don't understand them and kind of ignore them. But they're designed to really help you figure out your true standing in the class and whether or not you're going to make it. It's part of your time management because you have presumably other courses as well. I'm not going to say those aren't important. They're important as well. But you don't want to spend time that you could be spending on another course if it's impossible to pass this one at a point. So knowing whether it's going to be possible is valuable information, is what I'm saying. And also, it's valuable to know whether an A is out of the question or not. So there are, I think, 7 different summary and forecast numbers, including your total current score. That's what you've earned so far. Three of those, though, are called minimum required. There's a minimum required for an A, a B, and a C. And the confusing thing that people, what confuses people about these is that students are used to wanting numbers to be as high as possible, right? You want high scores, like your total current score. You want that to be 100. Higher the better. But it's just the opposite for a minimum score required, right? A minimum score required is something that you have to get over. So the lower it is, the easier it is for you to attain that goal, a C, a B, or an A. Just realize that. You want those ones that are labeled as minimum to be as low as possible. Right now, since you haven't handed anything in, the minimum score required for a C is 66, because that's what the syllabus says, right? Well, if you give me the first assignment and you only get a 50 on it, then that minimum required is going to be recalculated and it's going to get higher because you didn't attain that 66. Every time you don't make it, it's going to get higher. Every time you go over it, it's going to get lower. That's what you want to happen. But you want to keep an eye on those minima. Because what that means is if you get that score, whatever it says, or higher on everything that hasn't yet been taken, submitted, or graded, then you'll be guaranteed that letter grade. That's one bit of valuable information. But also, and this won't make sense until you've done some things for grades, it's also going to be very useful to compare a minimum required for either a C, a B, or an A to your total current score. And the deeper you get into the term, the more certain a predictor of your final score, your total current score is, right? Your total current score is how well you've done so far. And if that's based on a great number of assignments because you're deep into the term, it's a pretty good indicator of what your final score will be if you do the same thing for the rest of the term, right? Well, this is why you want to periodically or intermittently compare your total current score to the minimum required for either the C, the B, or the A. Let's say that your total current score is 54. If the minimum required for a C is 68, which is much higher than your total current score, then you're not going to pass if you don't make a change. That's what it tells you. What that means is that if you don't make a change, you're going to end up probably with a 54 or whatever I said. So if you don't want to get yourself into the situation where the minimum required for your goal grade is higher than your total current score, and every time your incoming current assignment score, each time you do something, is higher, then that minimum will get lower and lower, which is exactly what you want to happen. For some of you, the minimum required for a C will become a negative number. That means you could just quit, take zeros on everything remaining, and you'd be guaranteed that C. You see what I mean by these? But keep an eye on that C one, because that's going to determine whether or not it makes sense for you to withdraw. If it becomes mathematically impossible to pass because your minimum required for a C is greater than 100, you could come in and get 100 on everything remaining and you still wouldn't make a C. That's what that tells you. So don't waste time on this course anymore. Devote it to your other courses. Take the W. That's the way of thinking about these things. Any questions on all of that or anything else? Okay. Then I think that's what I wanted to say about the syllabus, unless there's something else you can think of that's important at this point. No? You want to go on to biology then? No? Well, we're going to if you don't have questions.